Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Arash is out today, so we have the main crew, the big three right here. We got Brandon Deutsch, Jihei Wiley. How's everyone doing? Jihei, how you doing?
You know what? Took an impromptu trip to Vegas, so I'm doing great. Ooh. And that is currently where I am until Friday. So, getting a little bit more of the lay of the land here. Yeah, so super stoked getting to bet on some baseball.
Yeah, hey, the city that never sleeps.
That's right. Yeah, Brandon, no, what's going on, man? What are you up to? Brandon.
Oh, man, just watching the Angels, who are hitting 200 as a team, lead the AL West after five games. This is our World Series right now, covering the team. So, look, they're a scrappy team. I know we'll get into them and the Dodgers, obviously two different, one low budget, low talent, 3-2, and the other. Yeah, I mean, they have some talent, but let's be real. But compared to their division, like, I like Ron Washington, though. I mean, GA probably likes Ron Washington.
Let's just get into it now.
Too.
Let's get into it now. Let's talk about the Angels right now, okay. Because we're already on. Go ahead, brother.
I mean, the Angels, I read the stat by Jay Kudu. By the way, it's great follow for your listeners. He's hilarious. He just, Chicago White Sox is just, he's a big White Sox. He's a White Sox fan, so he's very critical of the team. Let me read you the stat. The Angels are hitting 201 with 270 on base percentage. Their pitchers have the second worst earned run average in the American League. Otani is gone. Their leadoff man started the year 0-20. Still doesn't have a hit. Anthony Rendon. They are first place in the AL West after heading into today's game.
That's crazy.
Insane. And look, the DVA, it's a little bit misleading, the stat, considering they gave up 22, I think, combined runs in their first two games, and the pitching has looked way better since then. I think they've given up a combined 6 runs over the past 3 games, so the pitching's been way better, especially Tyler Anderson, Dodgers legend Tyler Anderson, who started a really big playoff game for the Dodgers years back when they had all those injuries. I mean, he was great for you guys. He looked like the Dodgers Tyler Anderson out of nowhere.
Yeah, he did.
And I was just thinking about it, like, his changeup was working again, his slider was working again, and it just seems like Ron has these guys ready to play baseball. I mean, it seems like they can't hit the broadside of a barn half the time, but when they can't hit, their pitching will step up. And when their pitching falters, like 2 days ago, their Trout hits 2 home runs, and it's just kind of like a very team-oriented mindset. And I'm not saying it wasn't with that with Otani, but I think there was a disassociation and a disconnect between like the stars and it being not whole as the team, right? It was kind of the Otani show, the Trout show, and then the team. And now I kind of feel like, okay, people are excited about the young players. It's a team. And I just know covering this team personally, regardless of their record, it's going to be fun because I know they're all bought in. They all see each other as equals. And I think that's important. I'm not saying Otani thought he was better than everybody else, but just in the way, he treated he wasn't available to the media as much as the other players. All the actions spoke that, he was at a different tier, right? And I think that hurt the locker room chemistry for sure.
Yeah, and Brandon, me and you are both very high on the Angels, I think, more than others. I think, we don't expect them to be a contender, but we expect them to be a little bit scrappy. Jihei, I know we're talking about the Angels and not a lot of people want to talk about the Angels, but with Mike Trout being literally the only superstar there, there are rumblings, I think, this week about Mike Trout maybe inching towards asking for a trade if things don't go well finally. That's what Ken Rosenthal said, actually, on his podcast. So I don't know if that's true, but Jihei, from the outside looking in, if you're looking at the Angels and you're looking at Mike Trout, right, he's been with the team for over a decade now. And this team, yes, they're scrappy, but like, can, even if they make a little bit of a run, they're not going to be a World Series contender. They're not going to be anything, you know, that great. So for Mike Trout, would you say seeking a trade is the best thing for him? Because in my opinion, I think it is. I think he should go seek a trade to the East Coast, maybe the Phillies or something. But I just want to see your thoughts on Mike Trout's situation, because the team is scrappy. Yes, we both agree on that. But I mean, maybe not for a guy that's trying to get to the playoffs for the first time since 2014, right, Jihei?
I mean, at the end of the day, God bless Mike Trout for being so loyal to a fault, right?
Right.
Like, he's just such a loyal dude. But at the end of the day, you kind of got to do what's right for you. We are in that kind of period of time in the culture, in the athlete culture, right? To be like, dude, get yours, do what's right for you. So, you know, going back home for Trout, just it makes sense. Right? It makes sense for him to go back at least close to Jersey. If that's not, you know, somewhere in New York, going to Philly completely makes sense for, you know, those reasons, right? Just going back home. And on top of it, he'll actually be a contender, right? He'll be able to actually go to the playoffs, you know, if he joins said team. So I think that this is a long time coming. I can't believe that we're talking about this now and actually really truly meaning like this might actually happen, because if this year doesn't maybe pan out for him a little bit, right? Like you guys said, here's the thing. I love your optimism when it comes to the Angels. I think it's really sweet.
Every year, great. Every year we do this.
Every year. You guys are like so on a high for the Angels in the beginning of the season. And I'm not knocking the Angels by any means, because they do well. They're kind of like with me with Baltimore. Like they're great in the beginning of the year. They're phenomenal. They're consistently great in the beginning of the year. And then later on, it, you know, teeters away as the season progresses. So I was actually going to ask Brandon, what do you think this team needs to do? Because now they are more of a team, right? They are more scrappy. They are younger. They are, you know, more of a probably a cohesive unit. What do you think this team maybe needs to do in order to stay that way? Health be damned. Like, let's not talk about health, because that's always going to be an issue for everybody, especially when you play over 180 plus games, right? So forget the health issues. What does this team need to do to be that cohesive unit? Is there going to be that consistency down the stretch?
Well, I think the first thing they needed to do, they already accomplished. And the reason why they didn't go after any big names in free agency this offseason was, you know, Artie Moreno, the owner, wasn't willing to pay the money. It ended up being the right thing to do, I think, long term, because you're looking at the Texas Rangers, who just won a World Series, and have Wyatt Langford, a superstar rookie, who they call the next Mike Trout, like has upside of a superstar, and Evan Carter, who's really good too, another rookie, plus the whole team that won the World Series, minus Jordan Montgomery, right? Like basically. And you get Jacob DeGrom back. So you substitute Jordan Montgomery. And if Jacob DeGrom is healthy, which he never is, so we do have to say like if, right? Like if you get 100 innings out of him, that's a successful year. Hopefully it's toward the end of the year where he's healthy and able to ramp up. And Max Scherzer coming back, right? So you look at that team. Is that the third best team in the division? They just won the World Series. They have all these guys. Seattle has an elite pitching staff. They have Julio Rodriguez. They're always going to struggle offensively, but if their pitching steps up, they'll be a World Series contender. And so will Houston, like always. I know Houston started off bad against New York. Like the Yankees, we all knew were going to be good. I think anybody who knows baseball kind of knew, like, okay, this is the year the Yankees win 95 games. Like Juan Soto, the pitching was, they were injured last year. Like it just, even in that tough division, everything was leading up to this year being the year that the Yankees win 95 games. And we saw that. But going back to the ALS, I think they saw those three teams and they were like, why get Blake Snell? Like, what are we doing? Like, let's see what we got. Let's have the young guys bring in a couple of veterans like Aaron Hicks and, you know, Robert Stevenson from the Rays, who, by the way, is excellent. He's hurt, but he's an excellent pitcher. And that was a huge signing. And just bring in all these guys and see what we can do as like scrappers. And at the end of the day, it's like they're not going to win a World Series this year, but could they develop all these guys in a few years? I mean, this is a very similar core. I'm not saying that it's the same, but similar core to not only the 02 team that won the World Series, but the Vlad type teams in the late 2000s, early 2010s. It was a young core brought up together, homegrown, that started to grow together and have success. And they were never the most talented team. Remember, Grant, they were never better than the Red Sox talent-wise or the Yankees, but they could hang with them because they had Moxie and Mike Socha. That was before analytics, you know, came into the game, and he was passed by as a manager. All love to him though, but you know, his time has passed. He's an old school guy. There's no room for old school guys. Even Bochy has had to adapt to society, right, in the way things go. At the end of the day, I think Ron really is a good leader of men. And I think that matters. Look at Dan Campbell and the Lions. I know I've been on a rant for a while, but the Lions were horrible when he came in. Horrendous. And within 2 years, they were really good. Super Bowl contenders.
And they had a core.
Mm-hmm. And I think that type of – I think Ron Washington's a similar guy to Campbell in the sense where he brings toughness, grit. Like, if we're going to lose, you're going to have to kill us. Like, you're going to have to beat us down on the floor again and again and again to get us beat. And that's why they had that team meeting after the two blowout losses to arguably the best team in the American League, and the Baltimore Orioles, one of them. And they've won three straight since then, going into today's game against the Marlins, right? So at the end of the day, it's like they're going to lose games. They're going to look really bad at times, but they're also going to look surprisingly really good at times because of the togetherness and the moxie that I think Washington is instilling. Culture shift is important. It's important. The Angels have not had a good culture over the past 10 years. That you call a spade, ask anybody in the world, ask the players in the locker room if they had a good culture over the last 10 years. It's changing, and that's good for the future for Angel fans.
I agree. And, you know, you mentioned some of those late 2000s teams. I mean, they had a core of Eric Ibar, Howie Kendrick, Mike Trout. Or Mike Trout was later in the early 2010s, but they had that core. Yeah, they had a good core in the late 2000s that kind of grew, right? Figgins they had. I hope that they turn into that team. Let's transition to basketball, specifically the NBA, because the Lakers, I know they're playing some bad teams right now, but they're still winning them. And any win right now, honestly, for the Lakers is a good thing. You got to keep up in the standings, especially with where they're at. They had a great win against the Raptors last night. They beat them by 17. LeBron had 23. Reeves had an off night. But, you know, look, this Lakers team should beat the Raptors, right? They should beat the Nets. They should beat the Wizards tonight. I mean, that's just what it should be. Brandon, your thoughts on the Lakers right now? Because the Suns aren't playing well. The Kings aren't really playing well. The Mavericks are. And the Warriors are kind of up and down. The Rockets are, I think, two back now since the Warriors won last night, three back. So they kind of fell off too. So Lakers are in this weird spot where you can't really move up because you don't have the tiebreaker against the Kings, but you can't really move back because the Warriors aren't as good as you. So your thoughts on the Lakers, you know, obviously right now they're playing some bad teams, but in the future, like to end the season, what would you like to see from the Lakers, I think, going into the play-in?
Momentum. They've had momentum since that Celtics game that I mentioned last week, where they didn't have LeBron. The team had, it's weird. Some nights they show like they're the toughest team in the league, and other nights they just don't show up to play basketball. And it's like you can kind of like, you know, the games they're not going to show up. They like pick and choose games where they take nights off. Like Indiana, they were on a 5-game win streak. It was on the road. It was like Indiana was coming off a huge loss. The Lakers were coming off a big win. And you just kind of knew the Lakers wouldn't show up to play that game last Friday. Like I told Arash on last week before that game, the Lakers are going to get drilled, like 100%. Like, because I just know how this team operates. They're not going to lose to Washington. It'll be closer than you think, 100%. Like, I think it'll be close. Washington just beat Milwaukee. But they're also it's not crazy. Look who Milwaukee's coach is. Excellent human being. But my gosh, Mr. Chokester himself. I hate to say it. Teams keep giving him chances. That's a whole nother conversation. They are going to lose in the first round, Grant. Like if they play a bad –
Hey, Grant, they call it spade a spade, man.
Yeah,
they're
going to lose. They could lose in the first round.
You may be onto something. Can we just talk about this real quick? Because the Sixers just got back Joel Embiid. They are in the 7-8 range. Imagine if it's this, guys. Imagine if it's Celtics Heat in the first round and Bucks Sixers in the first round. I mean, do we give the Heat an advantage at this point? They've beaten the Celtics twice in the playoffs. Do we give the Sixers an advantage with Joel Embiid?
I want to see Celtics. I'll let GA go in a sec, but I want to see Celtics Heat because I think you can knock the Celtics out early if you're the Heat. Yeah, I think it's one of those things. The Heat are on a roll. They've won three in a row. They just they just beat New York, who is playing really good basketball, yeah. right? Like Brunson has just scored 61 points. New York's another team I think is a sleeper to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they just are tough as nails, and I think that'll show in the playoff. Cleveland's fraudulent. We know Cleveland's fraudulent. They'll choke. Like, we know Orlando's a year or two away from doing anything. Maybe, you know, maybe they win a series at some point over the next few years, but they're not winning any championships until Paolo and Franz are at least 26. Like, that's when we typically see those young players turn into superstars. Like, Shea is starting to enter that phase. Edwards is starting to get there close. But even Edwards needs a few more years before he's winning championships. We've talked about this. I do think Miami, the way they're playing, Terry Rozier is a man on a mission right now. And you're just going to see Jaime Jaquez Jr., Triple J, UCLA legend, Camarillo High School, is just waiting, waiting. You haven't heard anything about him. Waiting for that Celtics series to turn into the Cody Martin of this season. One of them's going to turn into Cody. I mean, Duncan Robinson, out of nowhere. That guy wasn't getting NBA minutes. He comes back. He's averaging 22 over the past six games. I mean, Eric Spoelstra just runs circles around other coaches. And Joe Mazzulla, great guy. I'll say it again. If Ime Udoka was still their coach, the Celtics would have banner 18 and they'd be going for 19. I think Ime is one of the best coaches in the league. I just don't think Joe, when the going gets tough, I don't know if Joe can hold that locker room together, personally.
Go ahead, Gina.
I think my only issue is that with Boston is that they're proven in the regular season. They are not proven in the postseason. So that, I think that's my only main issue, is that come postseason time, they choke. So I'm hoping that, and I'm not a Celtics fan. I'm not rooting for them by any means. I mean, I will at certain points just because, you know, I love my Dukies. But I just don't think that they have that. But they also do have Porzingis, which might have been their missing piece. So because he is that missing piece, a possible missing piece, it's a huge possibility, man. So, like, to say that they could, that Miami would 100% beat, I'm not saying that you said this, but I'm just saying, like, to say that Miami would, like, be the best to see that matchup or whatever, I just can't fathom it right now. I can see them still making the Eastern Conference, like, being the Eastern Conference champions. At the end of the day, and then contending for an NBA title. Can I see them winning an NBA title? CBD, man, because, again, they have that extra piece in Porzingis right now. I just don't think that – I think that – and I love Tatum. I really do love him. But, man, he chokes. He chokes so much in the postseason.
He's kind of – you know, I hate to say it. Look, people might say, oh, Brandon, you're not in the NBA. Why can you say this? I think he's soft. Straight up. I think he's soft. Like, I mean, I hate to say it. Like, there's guys that are just tough that are going to show up in big moments. Even Kyrie Irving shows up in big moments. As off the court issues, whatever. On the court, that guy's a killer. He just don't think Tatum has that killer instinct. I've never seen it for
him. I think Jalen Brown's more soft.
Yeah, the problem is those are your two best players and they're both soft. At least they have Drew Holiday. So at least they have Drew Holiday and Porzingis is starting to grow on me. Like, he's becoming like a tougher player. Like, I like Porzingis a lot. Derek White is tough. They have enough guys, I think, that are so good that can make up for that, which is why they could win a championship. I will say this. I think Milwaukee loses to either Philly or Miami if they play in the first round. Yes, dude, Milwaukee is not a good basketball team. They were getting waxed by the Lakers without LeBron. They blew like 25-0 leads. Like, twice they blew leads to the Lakers without LeBron. To me, that screams, how are you going to win a championship if you can't beat the Lakers without LeBron James? Like, come on. Like, to me, I think that's throwing your money into fire if you're betting on them to do anything in the postseason. And whether it's that round, they're not beating the Knicks, they're not beating anybody, and Dame is having the worst shooting season of his career. No one's talking about it. He's been horrible all year.
I mean, can we also attest this to, again, bad coaching? Like, I just, if you have such great talent on your team and you can't transition that over to a championship, that can't translate to a championship with Doc Rivers, like, I just don't get it. I just don't understand what he's doing in there. I want a camera crew to go in there and, like, film everything and be like, what is he doing wrong that, like, we're not seeing here? Because you've got all the pieces, man. You have all of the, you have everything. You have everything. Wait, you choke everything away.
Last thing I'll say, and Grant, you can go and take us out in these last 2 minutes and say your points on this. I wanted to say, It's never a good thing when the first thing your coach says coming in, this is a very hard situation. What?
Yeah, what?
Why would you ever admit that? And then your players think, like, this guy's weak. He doesn't know how to handle us. You know, like, immediately, like, that's like a red flag. Like, I knew right then. I mean, I knew when they hired him, they weren't going anywhere. But Grant, last minute 30, your thoughts?
Yeah, here. It's honestly like PJ Tucker saying, I didn't ask to be here. It's like, brother, like, you're here. Do something. But honestly, like, Brandon's, you know, and he mentioned this, Doc is like Shaq on the Celtics. I mean, at this point in his career, it's true. I don't know why teams keep giving him opportunities. I think, you know, and we'll talk about the Dodgers in the next segment, but I think he's like Dave Roberts, to where he's a very buddy-buddy player, you know, coach, manager, whatever you want to say it. And players like it, but the performance doesn't reflect that in the playoffs. So you're going to get, you know, first round exits, you're going to get second round exits, you're going to get chokes like the Dodgers have, like the Bucks probably are going to do, like the Sixers did in years past, and like the Clippers did. It's just, I think a manager or a coach has to be tough on their players. Look at Bruce Bochy. He won a championship because he's a hard person. Like, he's hard on his players and he's serious about it when it gets time to the playoffs. Doc is just, I don't think he's that kind of guy. He's great with his X's and O's. He's great with ATOs out of timeouts. But in terms of just getting on your players, I think he's just more buddy-buddy. So look, there's a lot to unpack with the East. There's a lot to unpack with the West. We'll get to the Clippers. We'll get to the Dodgers in the second segment. We'll leave it there for now. We're going to have the same crew coming up in segment two. We're going to be talking some Clippers, some Dodgers, right here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 716 Hawaii. We're back with Brandon. We're back with Jihei. We didn't get to the Dodgers and the Clippers. I know a lot of fans, oh, they're so excited to talk about the Clippers. Let's get to the Clippers first, because they had a brutal loss against Sacramento. But I think, Jihei, I'll start with you, because before the game, I think it was midday, it was announced yesterday that Kawhi Leonard would be out with knee soreness, in big quotes. Now, we know what that means. We know what knee soreness means to the Clippers. We know what anything dealing with any lower extremities means with the Clippers. I fully expect a Kawhi Leonard is going to be reevaluated in 2 to 4 weeks tweet by Woj or Shams. I don't know which one it's going to be. I don't know if this is a day-to-day thing. I don't know if it's load management. I don't, you know, Clipper fans like you and I, Jihei, we just expect the worst. So I don't know if this is going to be something that lingers. I don't know if they're just giving him some time off of his legs, because they do have a 5-7, which starting with the Denver Nuggets, which is not great. So they play the Nuggets tomorrow on Thursday at home. It's their first home game in a while. But Jihei, when you hear Kawhi Leonard being out with knee soreness, what's your initial reaction to seeing that?
Here we go again.
Yep, exactly. You know.
Here we go again. It's just, it's very par for the course. It's very standard, and I'm kind of over this. I'm kind of ready to be done, move on from this, but whatever. I mean, and it's so disappointing, because I had such great hopes in the beginning of the year, right? Because we were playing so well, playing so consistently. I was like, maybe this is the new Kawhi. It's gonna be great. You know, if he needs to rest, then fine. You need to rest, man. But, like, just, we're doing so well. This is just, I think it's just more disappointing than anything, because if you're a real Clipper fan, you should just be used to this by now, unfortunately. Yep. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that he should be doing this all the time, but he does. And again, par for the course. This is normal. I really hope that somebody else just, it would have been nice for somebody else to step up in his shoes and fill those shoes. And because that bench is not horrible. Y'all ain't bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to the NBA for a reason. You got on this Clipper squad for a reason, full of stars, and got playing time for a reason. And you're not stepping up to the plate. So that's more, I think that's more of the concern. And that's what should be more of the concern, is the inconsistency on these, on the bench, to be like, you know what, this is, my mom always had a saying. She said, it doesn't matter how much playing time you get, when you're on that floor, be on that floor. Yep. Do what you got to do to like get more playing time, to like do what it takes to like earn your spot on there. Even if you have 30 seconds, play hard for 30 seconds. If you have 30 minutes, play hard for 30 minutes, right? So like, I just feel like in the NBA, like if you're that kid that like isn't getting the playing time that you thought you were going to be getting, now's your chance, man. Now's your chance to be like, I'm better than these idiots. Like, let me shine. Mm-hmm. Let me get my shine. Trust me, SportsCenter is going to realize it. They're going to highlight you. They're going to be like, you went off for 30. Where's he been all season long? Why isn't he playing? You know? So I just, it's more disappointing for those, for that bench, I think, for me as a fan who just normally sees this activity happen from the coaching staff for letting Kawhi get his rest.
Yeah, and you know what, G, hey, there's two things I want to bring up, because number one, if he really is load managing, can we just come up with something else other than a knee soreness? Like, just say that his arm is hurting. Don't say anything involving a knee. I'm sick of hearing anything about the Clippers and knees. Just say, you know, his shoulder's hurting. He woke up wrong. Just say that. Number two, you're right, G, hey. The guys that are around Kawhi Leonard and the number two or 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call Paul George, whatever you want to call James Harden at this point, they have not stepped up at all when Kawhi Leonard is out. And the Clippers are 3-4 on the season when Kawhi Leonard has been out. And Paul George did not look good last night against Sacramento. James Harden has not looked good for a month straight. I don't know what is going on with him. He had a shoulder strain issue. That's what they're calling. If he's going to play, G. Hay, this is why you got James Harden. Brandon, you know this. This is why you got James Harden. So when Kawhi is out or Paul George is out or even both of them are out, you have a consistent score, in theory, to give you 20 points plus per night while those guys are sitting out. And James Harden has not done that at all. Even when Kawhi Leonard's in the lineup. Yes, Brandon, I know he's still getting his assists. I know he's still getting double-digit assists and getting guys in good spots. I just think that when you see Kawhi Leonard be out, when you see him not being in the lineup, for me, if I'm Paul George and if I'm James Harden, I'm like, I'm going for 50 tonight. Like, this is my chance to go for 40-plus. And they just have not stepped up. I'm not saying they should give you 40 to 50, but they're not even playing like a star should. And these are two guys that are playing on contracts. They are playing for their next contract. I know Paul George has an option for $49 million, which he should take, because the Sixers, if they give him a max deal, oh my God, good luck. But James Harden, he's playing for another contract. So at this point, I don't know what teams are going to look at and say, well, look, if he can't do it without Kawhi Leonard, then why would I give him all that money? He can't prove to be a 1B, 1A type of player. All this entire season, it has not been Paul George and James Harden stepping up when Kawhi Leonard is out or having bad games. It's either a collective bad game for everyone, or it's just Kawhi Leonard taking over down the stretch. So, sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant. But Brandon, your thoughts on Kawhi being out? Are you worried about it? Are you worried about this team? Because they lost big to Sacramento last night.
Yeah, I mean, that was expected. I think it didn't take a genius to figure that one out, that they would, even if they had Kawhi, they would have lost that game. Like, it just meant more for the Kings. So, like, the Kings just don't want to fall behind the Lakers or the Suns. They want to be having a home game, light the beam at the 7th seed. Maybe get to the 6th seed, but it's going to be tough for them to catch New Orleans or anybody else, you know, Dallas. Regardless, like, everyone knew the Clippers were going to lose that game. Even the Clippers knew, and that's probably why they sat out Kawhi, right? Like, Paul, the James Harden situation is, it's for me, it's so easy to quantify. He's scared of the spotlight now. He doesn't want to be judged. He wants all the money, but doesn't want the judgment. That's exactly why I went to the Clippers. Philadelphia, you have a microscope on you constantly. Those fans are die hard. Yeah. And call a spade, trust me, I'm an Angel fan, I know. You're not going to get that same media attention with the Clippers. No one cares in Los Angeles about the Clippers. They care about the Lakers. And that's why exactly why he wanted to be on the Clippers, so he could have nights like this. And how many people are talking about the stinker James Harden put up last night?
Just the fans.
Nobody. Yeah. If he was playing in Philadelphia and did that, oh my God, he wouldn't hear the end of it. And that's why he had to be more consistent in Philadelphia on a nightly basis. He had to put in the work. He had to do it. And he coasts. He's coasting right now. He has so much more to give. It's just so funny to watch, because some nights he'll be like, yeah, I want to put up 30 and 10. Like, he'll do it. And then it's like, oh, just let my teammates do it. Yeah. Do it. 8 and 8 or whatever. 8, 6, and 5. Like, it's just the laziness. I mean, it's pure laziness. Even on the contract here, it's crazy. I just think because of the brand name, he knows he'll get money regardless. But he's 34. It's not like his body should be deteriorating that much yet. He doesn't have the athleticism ever that Westbrook had, which is why Westbrook deteriorated so quickly, was because he had, and you will see the same thing with Ja toward the end of his career, if he's able to stay healthy. Like, Ja's not going to be able to do this for 10 straight years when he comes back from his injury. He's going to continuously, his body's going to break down. You just can't do it. Zion, it'll be the same thing. He'll have to slim down if he wants to survive in the league in 10 years. Like, Harden's not like that. He's a finesse guy. He's always been a finesse guy. He shouldn't be breaking down like this at 34. It's disrespectful, honestly, to the fan base. It's disrespectful to him. Disrespectful to himself. Like, does he really want money? The team cancer stuff is going to continuously come up if he chokes with this team. If they lose in the first round, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. He's never ducking those allegations.
And you know what, Brandon? That's a great point. And Jihei, I want to ask you about this, because Brandon and I think share the same sentiment here, is that if the Clippers play Luka and the Mavericks, I mean, heck, even if they play the Pelicans with Zion, they're going to be a first round exit. And that's looking like what the matchup's going to be. So Jihei, your thoughts on playing Luka again for the third time in the playoffs? I do not want to see Luka at all, ever, in the history of everything. I don't want to see him at all in a playoff scenario. What are your thoughts on the Clippers? They're going to play either New Orleans or Dallas at this point. What are your thoughts on that? And maybe if you want to chime in what Brandon said.
No, I agree with you. Here's the thing. I think it's going to be more of an uphill battle when Dallas are going to give you bits. Luka holds grudges. It is what, and that's fine if that's how you have to play in that playoffs or just games in general. I mean, Jordan did that his whole entire career. So, like, it obviously worked. So, you know, good for you, good on you for however you need to figure your stuff out. But I still think they're beatable. I still think that they're extremely beatable. I don't think that they're going to be I just think it's going to be more difficult. New Orleans, on the other hand, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm scared of that team. I know Brandon's going to probably disagree with me. I'm scared of that team because they can. They need to whoop on them. Like, they're at a different level right now where, like, they're mentally, like, forget everybody. We're coming after you. So I'm a little bit more concerned than Dallas, because Dallas, if the momentum continues in Dallas's direction, then yes, we probably will. Clippers will definitely have problems and issues. But everybody has their roles. So I think that Dallas is more beatable than New Orleans with the Clippers. Now, if we get Denver, we're screwed. Forget it. Like, absolutely not. We will not make it past the first round. I would be impressed if they even contended with, like, if the Brooms came out, I would not be shocked. I'd be fine with it, because I know, like, that's how good Denver is. And it's just not even going to be a contest. So
Wait, okay. Jihei, you know.
I'm going to say it. No, I'm going to say it from the Pelicans. Yeah. Okay, and the Lakers will beat the Kings in that one play-in game if they get there. I truly believe it, 100%, even though the Kings own them. Playoffs are a different animal. Like, LeBron can turn on that switch, and if he's healthy, Kawhi will turn on that switch against New Orleans. If I'm the Clippers,
if he's healthy.
Yeah, that's key. I mean, Kawhi is the key. Kawhi is your franchise. If he's not healthy, you guys are going to go down in four games. If he's healthy, it doesn't matter who you play, Grant. Like, he'll step up to the plate, and you guys, if you saw what he did against the Suns when he was healthy in those mere two games, I mean, he could still do that any night he wants. He's coasting, but he's actually trying, and, you know, he's not trying to score. When the playoffs start, if you draw New Orleans, that's a great draw. I'm sorry. And I know New Orleans is playing well, but look at the history of the past few years. I mean, chokers. Like, colossal chokers. You could say the Clippers, well, at least the Clippers have gotten further than them. Like, come on, that's like comparing the Cowboys and the Niners. At least the Niners have choked in the Super Bowl versus the Cowboys choke in the first round. There's levels to choking, right? Like, there's different stages.
There's levels to choking. Somebody quote that. Put it in a graphic.
There's levels to choking. Like, we know San Francisco is going to get back in the NFC title game next year or the Super Bowl and probably choke. And we know Dallas isn't going to make it past the first round. It's like a script, right? It's like nothing's going to change. Same thing with New Orleans. If New Orleans is first of all, they're blessed to even be in the playoffs. I mean, the Lakers are a better team than them. The Warriors would beat them in a series. And because they took care of business in the regular season, which is important, and the Lakers and Warriors did not do that for the most part. Darvin Ham, you know, whatever, was in a different realm at some certain points in time when Gide lost games they shouldn't have lost. They will play the Clippers, and I'm telling you right now, Kawhi, if he's healthy, will just turn it on and they'll beat the Pelicans. Like, the Mavericks are a different animal because Luka's playing some basketball right now. Him and Kyrie are a duo that, like, I'm like, wow, Kyrie looks like LeBron Kyrie. Like, he could hit the big time shot in the finals and win you a championship, Kyrie. And Luka looks kind of like LeBron, not as athletic, but just the way he can carry a team. That's a scary team. I don't think anybody wants to play the Mavericks. I mean, the Lakers aren't beating them. Heck, I think a series with Denver goes 7 at full health Denver against Dallas. I don't think the Suns get remotely close to Dallas. I think they get swept by them. Suns are a terrible team. I mean, talk about a failure. Jeez, we'll get into that in a sec. But, GA, your thoughts?
Yeah, no. The Suns are just a dumpster fire. Like, that's just poor Coach Vogel.
I know.
Like, why would you even want to try to remedy that team? I just don't, whatever. But going on, the reason why I think that not only, I think that New Orleans has learned from their mistakes and they're figuring all their stuff out at the right time. So that's why I think that, like, and they also, like, and you're right, plans are a totally different beast and it depends on the level of chokedom, I guess, right? That you're on. Like, are you first round chokers or are you, you know, Boston Celtics chokers that choke in the championship game kind of choking? Like, it just depends on that level. But I think that they're learning from it. I think that, like, I don't know, that team just got something that, like, maybe I just can't explain, but, like, there's just something about that team that, like, I'm scared of. That's just something about that team I'm super scared of. And it's not Zion, because 2 seconds later, like, you can put, like, Zion could be blown over by the wind and he could get hurt for some weird reason or whatever, right? Like, I'm concerned with, you know, the rest of that spot. So I think watch out for them. That's all I'm saying, is that the Clippers should watch out for New Orleans. I also think, I mean, don't be wrong, they will, and I said this, they will contend against Dallas. Like, it's not going to be a sweep. Like, they're not going to just bowl over on Dallas and be like, goodbye, guys, like enjoy Cabo. Like, they're going to have to do something spectacular. And you're right, the key is Kawhi. There's no doubt about it. Like, if Kawhi's not in there, they won't win. They won't win anything. Like, they wouldn't even be able to qualify
George has to be the guy.
Oh,
might as well be in Cancun.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
And that's my concern. Like, that's my concern is that, you know, we just saw it last night against the Kings, is that Paul George and Harden did not step up again.
It's been
a consistent theme.
They know. All of our listeners know George is deteriorated. He's not the same player he was even 2 years ago.
In 2021,
his mind isn't on basketball. It's on the podcast. Yeah. Draymond has been the only guy, I think, that has had a podcast and actually won a championship. Too. Yeah, but he's actually a money player in big moments. He's always stepped up in big moments. Like, Draymond
Reed is the guy, though.
That's also
He's not like your main dude. So, like, to have Draymond as an example versus Paul George, I don't think that's a fair example.
Well, Paul George shouldn't be having a podcast. I mean, once LeBron came out of this podcast, Lakers are cooked. The Lakers aren't winning any more championships if LeBron keeps going on his podcast.
I just think it's very infuriating when the Clippers have a terrible loss and then I go on YouTube the next day and I see, hey, we had, Vince Staples on. It's like, what, dude?
Dude, you just blew the game last night.
Yeah.
Well, why can't they do that in the offseason? Guys made albums back in the day in the offseason, like Shaq and Tony Parker, like that. Kobe, like, offseason.
They were in movies in the offseason.
Yes. You don't do it in season. That is like, dude, Jordan would literally slap these guys in the face. Michael Jordan and Kobe, if Kobe was still alive. Like, he would slap them in the face. Kobe would not let that
slide. I think more Kobe than Jordan. Because Jordan actually was like, okay, you're probably Robin's going to Vegas, so that's okay. Like, well, like, let's hurry up and go get on a plane and get him and then come back. He needs a break, et cetera, whatever. He, like, let that... Jordan let that stuff slide. Kobe would not let that slide. There's no Jordan, way. If this was actually
Jordan,
like, Kobe would not let that slide.
Jordan and Otani, a gambling pod coming up.
That's a good segue.
That would be a legit great idea.
You know what? Sorry. I wanted to get into a podcaster himself and Mookie Betts, because Mookie Betts actually does podcasts during the season too. I mean, and look at what happened to
him. And he choked in the playoffs.
Right.
And I haven't seen one podcast from him yet, and he's hitting 600 exactly. with about five home runs.
All right. I wanted to talk about the Dodgers before we go, because the Dodgers, I mean, look, they took another one against the Giants. They won 5-4. They already have 2 out of 3 against the Giants. They've been on a little bit of a roll, but I think the main thing for me, guys, and something that I've seen with the Dodgers is that, you know, Shohei Ohtani is not right. I don't know if it's, like you guys mentioned, the betting thing, the gambling thing. I don't know if it's the pressure getting to him because he's never played on a team like that. I mean, obviously the Angels had some pressure, but nothing like this. I just have not seen a lot of confidence exuded from him. I have not seen anything from Shohei Ohtani that he hasn't hit a home run yet. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez is tied. Actually, I think he's behind Mookie Betts now for the league lead in home runs. So I'm not going to say I'm worried about Shohei right now, because look, we're what, 5-6 games in. I'm not going to go crying everywhere about Shohei Ohtani, but he has not been the same player. Like, he has just not been the same player that the Dodgers thought they were getting out of the gates. And obviously he has some doubles, he has some singles, but like, Brandon, you know, he strikes out in big spots. He pops up in big spots. I know people are going to get on us for that, but I watch the Angels a lot. You watch the Angels a lot. He was not that great in big spots. I just hate to tell people that. I think the biggest spot that he came through in was the World Baseball Classic when he struck out his teammate Mike Trout. But for the Dodgers, I just think the offense, they're leaving a lot of people in scoring position still. Look, they're winning games. That's fantastic. But when you build bad habits in the regular season, and when you keep leaving guys on base in the regular season, when you get to October, you're going to think it's okay. And it has not been okay for the past, what, 2-3 years? They've gotten knocked out because they couldn't get people in from scoring position. They couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. Max Muncy is an issue at third base. He already has multiple errors. There's a lot of things to like. Obviously, the team looks pretty good. I mean, they look like one of the best teams in the league. But there's also a lot of things that I'm looking already to October with. I'm already looking to say, okay, if they were in this scenario against a team, a wild card team, and they didn't get anybody in with nobody out and the bases loaded, that's not really what you want to see from a Dodgers team, right? That's not what you want to see them build habits in the regular season with. So for me, I've seen a lot of good things, but it's not the dominance that I expected them to come out of the gates with. And the Dodgers have been a team in April and May that has kind of just been slow out of the gates. But for this team, I just think that they need to be a little bit better. That's just my honest opinion. But we'll leave it there for now. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Grant Mona filling in for Arash, saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing
worldwide through the hard times, worrying faith. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.